Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Hope you're all well. This weather is unseasonable, at least for me, but we make do of it as we are winding down the season, as teams are wrapping up as we speak. Conference tournaments happening. We got nationals happening soon, so a lot of stuff happening, playoffs happening, so we are in our waning years for the sixth season, so we will see what we can do on this one. We'll start off with the Stevenson University Mustangs in the UCHC title game against perennial powerhouse Utica University. Utica looking for their third straight UCHC title. Stevenson looking to get their first. And started off pretty tight overall, and then Utica gets on the board first. Eric Vitale gets his first, gets on the board first. 7:09 to the first period, makes it 1-0 for the Pioneers. But late in the frame on the power play, Kyle Lightfoot, the hero of the semifinal, evens the score up at 1 on the power play from Frank Vitucci, and John Musella makes it 1-1 going into the locker rooms. But Utica gets off the schneid quick in the second period. Griffin Barr, 37 seconds in, makes it 2-1. For Utica. And then a lot of back and forth. Stevenson ringing some stuff off the post, trying to get chances, trying to get some sustained pressure going towards the Utica net. But a power play later into the frame was a bit of their undoing, as Utica capitalized on, as Jacob Burrow gets his power play goal for the game. 3-1 at Utica in this after two. And Stevenson would valiantly come back. They were attacking in a big way. And then just past the midway point, Frank Vitucci nets the goal to get him with two within a one. Jack Carlson, John Musella on the assist. But it was not to be had. Even with the goalie pulled late, they got a little luck with Utica ringing one off the post late. But Stevenson could not find an equalizer. I think, you know, if you watch the broadcast, you could say that maybe Stevenson was owed maybe two more seconds to try to get one last shot on that last icing, but not to be had. Stevenson falls short in this one, 3-2 to Utica. Ty Outen making 33 saves. A lot of tough shots there late in the frame. But it was a situation where Stevenson had a dream year, and unfortunately did not go the way they wanted it to go. But I think overall, a season very well done getting to the title game, as well as setting records for wins in a season with 21. And it was a tough way to end it, but I think plenty of stuff to look forward to in the season. The tournament team, all tournament team, was named. Ty Outen and Kyle Lightfoot were named to the all-tournament team in this one. So good accolades for them overall. Just spotlight how good the season was. Outen made 83 saves in all postseason games, where Lightfoot recorded at least a point in each of the games during the tournament. So a big, big jumping-off point for Stevenson. Outen will be back most likely for next year for his final season, and they'll have a lot of firepower, hopefully, if these guys don't go ahead and decide to turn pro a little bit early than they should, or at least in a selfish opinion, than they should. Some MAC honors also for Stevenson players. Dominic Dawes gets Coach of the Year for his performance this year. Ty Outen gets Defensive Player of the Year, and Liam McCanny gets Offensive Player of the Year. So a full sweep for the Mustangs in that, and then first team recognition of Outen, McCanny, Blake Benson, and Jack Carlson, while Frank Vitucci, Zach Bannister, and Malcolm Palmer all get second team honors. So plenty to build off of next season, plenty to get rare and ready to go, and we will see how the Mustangs recruit for this coming season and how they bounce back and how they can make things going, as Utica will be the team to beat. So all eyes will be on that matchup next year, and all eyes will see if they can't get back to that promised land as well. Team Maryland working their way through the final games of the regular season. They're up in they ended the year in a showcase, because why wouldn't they? That's how the E goes, baby. So here we go. They had a Friday, Saturday, Monday slate. And Friday night, a tough go about it in the two halves that they played. But at the same time, a very good outcome. They were in tough against this Seahawks hockey club, only registering 11 shots throughout the 50 minutes that they played according to the EHL website. But in the first half, Will Moran scores one, 8:01 into the frame, his 12th of the year, from Theo Lautzis and Chase Hannon. Lautzis' 17th assist, Hannon's 31st assist, makes it 1-0, and then it was shut down City from there. The defense took care of the job after that, able to limit its Seahawks to 24 shots in two halves, and able to pick up the victory there. Jake Hewson, another shutout for him, third straight, 24 for 24, and Team Maryland gets a much-needed 2 points. Moving on to Saturday, and this one a little bit more eventful as they took on the Connecticut Rough Riders, team they are very, very well-versed against. A lot of penalties in the first period for the for Team Maryland, three, in fact, but it did them a little bit of harm, actually, I'm not going to lie. Started off good for them, though, as 17-16 in. Aiden Theriloff gets his 10th of the year shorthanded from Jules Jardine, his 11th assist, and Noah Gules as his 9th assist. Team Maryland up 1-0, but with 30 seconds remaining on the power play of their own, Connecticut gets one back to tie the score. John D'Errico, his 17th of the year, ties it up at 1. Then 9:09 into the second, Theriloff gets his 2nd of the game, 11th of the year. Jules Jardine, his 12th assist, Vadim Frolov, his 23rd assist, and that made it 2-1, but that was very short-lived, as about 40 seconds later, Connor Hetherington of Connecticut gets his 6th of the year to make it 2-2, and that's how the half would end. We would go to overtime, and then, hey, why not? 1:49 in, Theo Lautitz gets his 7th of the year from Jules Jardine and Vadim Frolov on a power play, and that would do it. 3-2 the final, a big, big win for Team Maryland. Much needed points in this one. Josh Scully, 23 saves, getting the victory in this. Team Maryland ended out their regular season and the showcase season against the Bridgewater Bandits out of Bridgewater, Massachusetts. And it was a game. It was a game, that's for sure. Things got started early for Bridgewater at 0:00 seconds. Of course, this is 25-minute halves, so the scorecard doesn't start until it hits 20 minutes or there's 20 minutes left. In any case, Christian Golick gets his 4th of the year for Bridgewater, puts them up 1-0, breaking Jake Hewson's shutout streak. So a shame in that for sure. Team Maryland trying to get something back, trying to get some offense going, could not find the back of the net, and then two quick goals in succession, starting off with Liam Fetkew with his 8th goal of the year at 19:31 of the half, and then just a scant 13 seconds later, Henry Cohen makes it 3-1 for Bridgewater with his 22nd of the year, and Team Maryland is down by a score of 3-1 going or 3-0 going in the second half. Team Maryland was on the offensive a lot, mostly because they had a long power play in the middle of the half, but it was early in the half when they finally get the breakthrough with Vadim Frolov netting his 23rd of the year from Noah Goose, his 10th assist of the season, puts the score at 3-1, but then Bridgewater took over after that. Liam Fecu gets his 9th of the year 13 minutes into the frame, and then Aiden Suez gets his 3rd of the season, making it 5-1 Bridgewater when Landon Schnuver gets his 16th of the year very late into the frame, and then he gets it to 6-1, and that's the final on this one. 6-1, Team Maryland drops that one. Jake Hewson, 11 saves against 13 shots. Aiden Chomansky gets his 5 saves in 8 shots. So that doesn't add up, does it? That's only 5 goals. In any case, we will check it from there. And it's Team Maryland drops it, regardless of the situation. They drop this one 6-1. So where does this put them in the grand scheme of things? Well, they finish up in 3rd spot of the division. They won't have to play the play-in game. That will be between the two Philadelphia clubs. They will play the New Jersey 87s, however, in the first round of the playoffs. And the full schedule of those will be out, I believe, soon enough. But I do know that Team Maryland will take on the 87s as a best-of-3 series. So therein lies the hook. So it's going to be you get one home game out of the entire situation. And puck drop of game two will be on the 14th, Thursday the 14th at 2:30 p.m. at Piney Orchard. Do make your way out there. Take the afternoon off work. Who cares? Just make it a four-day weekend. Do it. Support the team out there. They've had a heck of a season, ups and downs, but they are willing to get things done, and they will have a lot of intensity given the fact that they have clawed back from everything else this season. Why not a whole playoff more? So we will talk about that next week. And we mentioned Houston, and he got Player of the Month honors in goal as Goaltender of the Month for the EHL for February. A huge, huge week for him, or a huge, huge situation for him. 4-2-0 in the month, two shutouts, and just a heck of a time for him for being a huge cornerstone of this team this year and getting them back into where they need to be in a good playoff spot moving ahead on the year. So congratulations to Jake on those honors there. The Naval Academy women had one last game before they go off to nationals as they took on Boston University. Boston University comes down and visits McMullen. And the broadcast started a little late as when I looked at the replay of it, it was already 3-0 Navy in the first. How we got there? We'll tell you right now. Sam Clark gets her 11th of the year on the power play. Abby Sears set her up on that one, her third assist for Sears, and it's 1-0 Navy. 2:08 later, Savannah Holt gets her third of the year. Kayla Delato with her 9th assist makes it 2-0 Navy. Then Sam Clark, 2 minutes after that, or less than 2 minutes after that, 12th of the year for Clark, makes it 3-0 for Navy. No scoring in the second period, but in the third period, Navy would get a get their fourth goal. Then in the third period, Navy would get another goal from Tina Cornelio, her 22nd of the year, just a mosh pit in front of the net. And last a touch was Cornelio. Sam Clark, 13th assist on the year. Big season for Sam Clark. Late in the game, with under 3 minutes remaining, Abby Murnane would get one for Boston University, her first of the year, but it was not enough for the final as Navy wins 4-1 in their tune-up for nationals. Deanna Pervoroto with 18 saves in the victory for the Naval Academy. And as we get ready for national championships, they start up next Tuesday, the 12th, and we'll run through the 16th. Navy will be in Pool D. They will be alongside Sault College, Northeastern University, and Mercyhurst University as well. So they will play out of Pool D. It's a round-robin situation. The top winners of the pool go to the Final Four, and away they go after that. Don't see a schedule list released yet for Navy, but a huge, huge accolade for them to go back to nationals. And, of course, we'll have all the information and stuff up to date for you guys next week. So it might just be the first game of the weekend because, yeah, that's the only game we'll see, unfortunately. And then we'll move on from that point forward. Time for a little year in review, as it were, for some of these squads in D2. Of course, their season ended a bit ago, and national championships, I do believe, are ongoing, and none of the teams, unfortunately, are there. So here we are to do a post-mortem, as it were, on these squads. We'll start off with the University of Maryland, 14-14-1. Sorry, 14-14-1 with one shootout win. So they were even Steven throughout the entire time. But the real big thing, the real big note of this was Max Noonan. 54 points in 25 games, including 35 goals. So averaging over 2 points a game, 8 power play goals. Only Daniel Tomaszewski within spitting distance of that with 6 on the blue line. Overall, their offense was solid. I mean, they had, you know, Noonan with 54 points. Trevor Drake had another great season, setting up Noonan more or less. 29 points for him, 7 goals, 22 assists. Tucker Healy, also another solid season, being on both the goal-scoring side and the assist side, averaging a point per game, 28 points in 28 games. Daniel Tomaszewski and Brian Teske on the blue line were solid as they come to contribute offensively as well. But you also have, you know, a solid bunch of group of guys behind them. I mean, Caleb Craven came in for the last 5 games, made a pretty solid impact. Patrick Beganowski, also a solid defensive defenseman. Blake Wayner, another solid offensive defenseman, or vice versa, defensive forward, I guess, were the time. So by and large, this team has a lot of firepower to go, a huge long line of roster, that's for dang sure. The big question, of course, is going to be goaltending, because Henri Pelletier is going to go into his last year. He is a very beat up man. Had a lot of injury situations going on for himself this past year. Did play 23 games, 11-10 overall, with a 3.57 goals against and a 909 save percentage. It got so bad that when Evan Jones wasn't available, Max Noonan had to go into net. And Noonan only gave up a goal in one period of play because Pelletier was injured. We will see what that injury to Pelletier at the end of that Delaware play-in game, how that plays out, and see how healthy he can stay in that one if he comes back next year. It looked pretty bad. I mean, those knee injuries can be severe, and if you're gonna want to do something further in your life, maybe the health reasonings behind it, maybe hang up skates maybe a little early. Even so, Patrick Adams came in, did not have the best of situations to be thrown into. Went 1-1 over his three games played. One no decision, 667 goals against average for the first year. So it's a situation of what's going to happen goaltending wise, and you have a lot of your firepower leaving too. Trevor Drake, Max Noonan, those guys are leaving. Who's going to step up offensively for this team? Going to be a new look for the Terps next year, and be interesting to see how they can counteract those losses and what kind of additions they get to come into the squad as well. We will have to find out and see. For Stevenson University, their D2 squad, it started off not great. Obviously, the passing of Eric Bennett in the offseason, who had just recently left Stevenson University. Team was playing with a very heavy heart, and they played very well. I think in the grand scheme of things, their record might not show it, as they finish 11-15 over the season. But I think in general, they had a decent offensive team. Defensively, again, a bit of an issue, but I think you can say that about most club teams. It is a run-and-gun kind of ACC that they have for themselves. But a solid year. Brendan Jesse coming back, 30 points in 24 games, 13 goals. Michael Hughes had a solid season, as did Anthony Breen, 14 goals apiece. Dominic Norris also adding to that 14-goal club, all tied for the goal-scoring lead. 26 points abound for Breen and Norris, 28 for Hughes. Chris Robinson had a solid final season. Nick Hoover was solid on the blue line, as was Aiden Hamilton and Tyler Shabbat. So, I mean, there's a lot to be hopeful for Stevenson in the grand scheme of things. Goaltending, of course, is going to be a big situation for the guys, as David Shahadi, who was their workhorse, is now, I believe he's done. He passed his senior season, so it's going to be on Kevin Roth's shoulders. He was 2-1 this year, 448 goals against, 845 save percentage. Shahadi, 714, the 502 goals against, and an 851 save percentage over the year. So we're going to have to see how Stevenson and Coach Mike Ergo adapt to that. I think that they're getting better. I mean, they do have a D3 and a D2 program now. They have enough players. They're recruiting well. So to fill in those gaps, I think they're much needed. They're going to be playing in tougher divisions, of course. I mean, there's a lot of talent in that ACC HL Elite and the ACC HL Premier. It's a lot of talent, and they're going to be tested a lot, but I think they're going to be equal to those tasks. It's just a matter of who they can bring up, who they can bring in to fill in the gaps that are going to be left behind for those squads. So congratulations to those two teams, and we will look more at other teams next week. D3 action happening in a big way for our area. In that, we had a lot of teams in the tournament. Play-in game for the two Maryland teams in the M3 championships did not go as planned, or the M2A championships, rather, did not go as planned, as Maryland loses to Westchester 4-2, and Stevenson lost to Appalachian State 8-1. So neither of them move onward and upward in that M2A tournament. So onward and upward from there. Where Maryland teams did cash in was in the D3 side of things. And Johns Hopkins making a big statement with a 9-2 victory over York on Friday morning That moved them along. Loyola also moved on in the game after that 8-5 win over Catholic on Friday, pushing them to the next round. Johns Hopkins, they were able to get through Montgomery College. Montgomery College had a bye in the bracket, but Hopkins steaming it out, 3-2 victory for the Blue Jays there. However, Loyola unable to get past Rowan, and the Profs able to beat them 4-1 on the year, meaning championship game between William & Mary and Johns Hopkins was at stake, and William & Mary wins 7-1 over Hopkins, so Hopkins falls just short of their championship bids in M3. A solid season for all when they reported their stuff. Loyola had a big year. Hopkins had a solid year. Stevenson and Maryland had decent years. Navy had a decent year. But I think in the grand scheme of things, a good look for teams getting up ahead, and especially in the lower levels, to be able to not only have the players to play, but also to have the competition to get into the playoffs and able to sustain themselves and go for a championship bid. So congratulations to all of those squads. Let's get to some players. And it's playoff time for Sam Addis and Dynamo Minsk, but they are down bad right now, losing their first two games of the best of seven. This concludes, Addis, no points in the playoffs so far. That concludes a season of 46 points in 60 games. Took them a minute to get things going, but now they're kind of looking up. Have to see. They're going to have to get some wins here before they can go ahead and move on to the next one. Of course, you got to get four wins before that. That's obvious. Eric Charpentier on a bit of a heater, as the kids like to say. 3 points this weekend, had two assists against Brown on Friday night, and then had a goal on a Saturday against Yale, putting his totals at 4 goals and 6 assists for 10 points this season for the Silver Spring native. Charlie Serrato, they already have him on Elite Prospects as at Penn State, but he still has some time down in Youngstown to deal with. He had a goal and an assist and a 10-4 walloping of Waterloo on Thursday for Youngstown, and then had a goal on Friday in a loss to Dubuque. So that puts him overall at 9 goals and 38 points in 32 games, better than a point per game if you're scoring at home or even if you're alone. Scott Kremen ended out his D3 season with 2 goals and 8 assists over at SUNY Canton, while Matthew Danziger had 2 assists in at Wisconsin Superior in the D3 side of things. So congratulations to those two guys on their season. First year for each of them out there, and a pretty successful one. Of course, you had Danziger is more of a defensive defenseman, so doing his gig just right. Anthony Domina had a solid week with a goal and an assist on Friday night against the Nipawin Hawks as the Yorkton Terriers beat them. That is goal number 19 and point number 44 for Domina. He's got 44 points in 47 games overall with those Yorkton Terriers. Another big outing for Lacey Eden this weekend. 2 goals and an assist over the weekend in a sweep of St. Thomas. A goal on Friday and a goal and an assist on Saturday, bringing her to 52 points on the season. That's 26 and 26 in 36 games, so nothing wrong with that. Her brother Liam is over back with Kipu of the 3rd Division in Finland. 10 goals and 21 points in 18 games for the former Terp. The Terp ACHA Capitone there for Liam. Stephen Holliday netted an assist on Friday night in Ohio State's loss against Penn State. That puts him at 33 points in 34 games, 10 goals and 23 assists as we get to the almost conference tournament time for hockey there in the Big Ten. Dimitri Kebrew had a milestone weekend, had a goal and 2 assists on Saturday, in a not a great game for the Maryland Black Bears overall, but he was able to surpass Luke Mountain for all-time points as or all-time goals as a Maryland Black Bear, and he reached 100 points total with his first assist early in the game. So a big week for him personally. For the team, could have been better. That's for darn sure. As we wrap up D3 things, Quinn Kennedy of Connecticut College, 7 goals and 21 points in 25 games for his first year out there. So a solid showing for him. Congratulations on a job done this year. So we will see him next year and see how he can jump off of that. Will Lawrence had a huge setup weekend, had 4 assists total in a split against New Hampshire by Johnstown. And that puts him at 44 points in 48 games for the overager from Bethesda, Maryland. So a huge, huge jump for him, the Team Maryland and Landon School alum. Huge things on the horizon, I would say. I'm surprised he's not committed just yet, but I'm sure schools will be calling sooner rather than later on him. Will Margell had a goal on Saturday as Mercyhurst lost to Canisius. That is his sixth goal of the season. He has 19 points in 31 games in his first year post-transfer, so a nice solid showing for him and a good move. It's always one of those things where you can, if you can show off a good move for a transfer, then why the heck not? Hey, Blake Montgomery continues to do things very, very well. He had a goal and three assists over the weekend in a three-game set against Tri-City. Tri-City Storm, right? Yeah. There's too many Tri-Cities in hockey. I will put that out there. But anyway, had a goal and two assists on Saturday in the 3-2 win, so he figured into all three goals, and then had an assist on Sunday in the 5-4 victory. He is just lighting things up. 37 points in 43 games, 18 goals and 19 assists. And if you look at his last 10, 12 points in his last 10 games, 4 goals and 8 assists. Kid finally is getting his footing about him. It's going to be interesting to see in his second year of eligibility in the draft if someone takes a flyer on him, because they'd be foolish not to, especially since he's going to University of Wisconsin in a couple years. This kid's a work in progress, and I think he is going to be a very solid professional player overall. So big things on the horizon for Blake Montgomery. Johnny Malera at Regina, I don't know how they pronounce it, but anyway, he had a solid season there. 12 goals and 31 points in 28 games for himself, and another guy who made the transfer from University of Maine down to D3 and is flourishing because of it. So a great move on his behalf to be able to just go get playing time and get noticed. I mean, you can get it's very easy to get pro jobs after college, even in D3. There's a lot of D3 players who do go to those lower ranks and work their way up. So a solid move on his way to make that happen. Evan Orloff had an assist on Friday night as the Maine Nordiques swept the Northeast Generals up in Northeast. That puts him at 11 assists and 17 points on the season in 39 games as they get down in the nitty-gritty up there in Maine. Charlie Skinner at the Milwaukee School of Engineering had 4 goals and 7 points in 23 games this year as he starts to round out his college career overall. So all the best to him in that. Maddox Tulacro is playing in BC, the BCHL. The Ashton, Maryland native has 2 assists this season. Earlier in the season, check up on him as the Mount St. Charles Academy graduate is doing things up there in BCHL. Big defenseman, only 18 years old. He will be someone to look at flourishing further on the blue line overall. 6'3", 205. I think that kind of defenseman right now. So we will see what becomes of him. Maybe it's luring back home. I don't know. Man, I'm just making dumb GM decisions at this point. George Vanakis, Curry College. I think he finishes his last year there. Had 14 points, 4 goals, and 10 assists in 24 games. So congratulations to him on a very solid college career, and all the best to him moving forward in his hockey career or just life in general, right? That's all we want about, right? In any case, Grace Campbell had a big overtime victory against Providence on Friday night. 46 saves, only letting one get past. So a huge, huge win for Boston College. That puts her at 15-13-7, 2-4-5 goals against, and a 922 save percentage for her. A huge, huge outing for the Kensington, Maryland native. Conversely, Jack Spicer had another rough patch this weekend, as he was, we talked about that Youngstown game earlier. He was in for all 10 goals on that Thursday night, only stopped 28. Next night against the U.S. national team, stopped 21, got the win in that one. And then the next night against Muskegon, stopped 22, did not get the win in that one. He's 11-11-0 with a 3.32 goals against and an 8.82 save percentage for Spicer. And Andrew Takis back into the sheet as he was able to get a big victory for himself in his third game this year. 20 saves against RPI and a 6-2 victory. Big win puts him at 2-1-0 in his sophomore season out there in Colgate, a 2.38 goals against and a 905 save percentage. Could this be the start of something big for him? I hope so. The Bowie, Maryland native, he's earned it. So I think that should be a good time for him in the grand scheme of things. That's it. That's all. We've done it once again. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it more than you know. As we dwindle down, we'll start and do more team interludes. We've got playoffs. We got nationals. We got all kinds of stuff. Got a couple more weeks here. So we'll be back next week. We'll be talking some stuff, talking some things, and we'll get going. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week, part of the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction and Podcast Monsters. You can check us out at ChesapeakeHWPod on Twitter for updates there. Until next week, we will talk to you then. Be happy, be healthy, be safe, play that clutch and crab hockey. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.